Welcome to Grace Bible Study. Would you please turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, what we're going to talk to you today is about what we have in Christ. Now, the first thing I want to talk to you about is forgiveness of sins. We have forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, I want you to go to, let's go to verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. In whom," now watch verse 7, "in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." So what we have here is we have forgiveness of sins, people. It's already a done deal. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, notice in verse 12 it says, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." Verse 13, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." All right, I want you to notice here it says, "having forgiven you all trespasses." That's your past, present, and future trespasses. You have been forgiven all of them. Now, we're talking about the church, the body of Christ, which is contrary to the New Covenant church, okay? The New Covenant church, they had to wait for their blotting out of their sins for when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. I want you to notice, and let's go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 2 first. Acts chapter 2, I want you to notice in verse 38. It says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Notice here it says that if they were repented and baptized, they would receive remission of sins. All right, go to chapter 3, notice in verse 19. Chapter 3, verse 19. It says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." So what we have here is the New Covenant church, they would receive remission of sins, and then they would receive the blotting out of their sins, or the total annihilation of their sins, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to this earth. Notice in, let's go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, Paul's talking about Israel. He says in verse 26, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." That's the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back. Verse 27, "For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." Now the Lord's going to take away their sins and completely wipe out their sins, blot out their sins, forgive their sins, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. But we, the church, the body of Christ, we have forgiveness of sins, complete forgiveness of sins today. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all your sins are taken care of in Christ Jesus. All right, the next thing I want to talk about is eternal life. We have received eternal life. Okay, now, the New Covenant church, they have to endure unto the end, and if they did, they would receive eternal life. But we have been promised eternal life, and we already receive it. All right, now I want you to go to Titus. Titus chapter 1, notice in verse 1. It says, "Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." You know, somebody was telling me that, God can do anything. But the Bible says here, God cannot lie. God made it to where he cannot lie. People, there is something that God cannot do, and that's lie. But it says here, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So he has promised us eternal life, and he is going to deliver. All right? And not only that, he has promised it to us. He wants us to know that we have eternal life. I want you to go to 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5, notice in verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. See here, God wants you to know that you have eternal life. He doesn't want you to guess or say, well, you only know when you go. Well, no, you can know ahead of time, people. God wants you to know that you have eternal life. All right? Now, another thing that happens to us in Christ Jesus, the church and body of Christ, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become a member of the church, the body of Christ. You become a member of his body. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want you to notice in verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many, or one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So what we have here is we have Scripture telling us that we're all baptized into one body. Notice in verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now watch verse 27. And now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So what we have here is we have Scripture telling us that we become part of Christ's body. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believing he died and paid for all your sins at Calvary, you become a member of the church, the body of Christ. Now let's go on. Now, your body, all right, also becomes a temple of the Holy Ghost. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I tell you what, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 first, and then we'll go to chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, notice in verse 16 it says, Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So what we have here is your body becomes a temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost dwells in you. All right, now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, all right, notice in verse 15, it says, verse 15, Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Then shall I take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he he which is joined unto a harlot is one body, for two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Watch verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So what we have here is we have several things in these passages of Scripture. Verse 19, it says, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? So what we have here is these bodies, when we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, and we have the Spirit of Christ in us also. And what we have here is our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and ye are not your own. Now, I want you to understand also that you're bought with a price and you don't belong to yourself anymore. Now, this body right here used to belong to me, but when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, now I belong to God. I have been bought with a price. Now, watch verse 20. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Okay? So what we have here is Scripture telling us that our body, spirit, everything we have belongs to God now. We are bought with a price, and that price was the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ when he died for us at Calvary. Now, I want you to go to Ephesians. In Ephesians, go to chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1. All right, there's several things I want to get here. Now watch. Notice in verse 12. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. It says, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. All right? Notice it talks about trusting in Christ. That's how you get saved, by putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So I want you to understand about verse 13, talking about being sealed. We'll get back to that in just a moment. Now watch verse 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Notice it says here, unto the redemption of the purchased possession. Okay? Something has been bought. Something has been purchased. What has been purchased? You have. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your body, soul, and spirit belong to God. You have been bought with a price, people. All right? And one day, there's going to have something called the redemption of the purchased possession, or the redemption of our bodies. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, notice in verse 23. Romans chapter 8, verse 23, it says, and not only they, but they are, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. All right, so what we have here is something is called the redemption of our body, or it's called the adoption, okay? This is commonly known among Christians as the rapture. It's called in the Scripture as the adoption, or the redemption of our body, or the catching away of the saints. Several things, okay? In the process here, our bodies will be redeemed, and our bodies will be changed. I want you to go to Philippians. Let's go to Philippians. All right. I want you to notice in Philippians chapter 3, notice in verse 20. Philippians 3, verse 20, it says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. So what we have here is we have Scripture that tells us that our vile bodies will be fashioned like unto His glorious body, okay? This is called the adoption. This is called the redemption of our bodies. Now, the adoption is not taking place yet, people, but what we have received is something called the Spirit of adoption. Now let's go to the Galatians. In Galatians, all right, in Galatians chapter 4, let's go to Galatians chapter 4, all right, Galatians chapter 4, notice in verse 1, it says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." So what we have here is, we have Scripture telling us, it says that we might receive the adoption of sons. And it also tells us here, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Now, a lot of people think that we are the adopted sons of God, okay? The adoption has not taken place yet, which I'm going to show you in just a moment, all right? But what we are, we have become the sons of God, but we have not been adopted yet. The adoption has not taken place. Now, I want you to go to, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, all right, Ephesians chapter 1, I want you to notice in verse 3 again. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us." Now, this is something I want you to understand. We have also been predestinated, all right? "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Now, I want you to notice in verse 5 here, look real good on the screen. It says, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself." Now, a lot of people take this verse of Scripture right here. It says predestinated, and it says, and a lot of people say, "Oh, well, God chose us, and we had no say-so in the matter. God chose us, and we're going to be saved, and that's it." All right? And that's the way some people feel, that God picked and chose the people he wanted saved and the people he didn't want saved. All right? Now watch. Let me show you that's not so. First of all, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Notice in verse 11 it says, "In whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." Now, once again, a lot of people take this word predestinated, and they believe that God picked people out that he wanted saved. But watch, let's go to the Scripture. Now, I want you to go to, tell you what, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, notice in verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now watch verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now question, is it God's will to have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? Yes, it is. It is God's will to have all men to be saved. Now, are all men going to be saved? No. But is it God's will for everyone to be saved? Yes, it is. Now, watch. Let's go on. I want you to go to, let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Notice in verse 9, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, is God willing that any should perish? No, he's not. It tells us right here in the Holy Scriptures. He says, but that all should come to repentance. So what we know for a fact is that God is willing for all men to be saved. He doesn't want anyone to perish. But yet there are going to be people that perish, and there are, and not everyone's going to be saved. Now, here's the deal. Let's say God picked those people he wanted to be saved. Now, have you ever been... like in a phys ed class, a physical education class at school or on a playground or something like that, and you're playing a baseball game or whatever kind of game you're playing, and you know how they pick teams, you get team captains, and you say, okay, well, you're on this side, all right, and the other person says, okay, you're on this side, and you know, a lot of people, they always get picked last, but my point is, okay, my point is, if you don't get picked to go on this team, that means you get picked to go on this team, okay? In other words, if God says, okay, I want you saved, you saved, and you saved, okay, what's he saying? He's saying, I don't want you saved, I don't want you saved, and I don't want you saved, okay? That's what he's doing. If he picks some to eternal life, you know what he does with the rest of them? That means he picks them to eternal damnation. Why did he pick them to eternal damnation? Because he didn't pick them to eternal life. So what we have here is, we got scripture that tells us God's not willing that any should perish. So if he's not willing that any should perish, how can he go around picking people that are saved and then leaving the rest alone? That means he's condemning them to eternal damnation. Now, how would you like to be one of those ones that he didn't pick to have eternal life? You had no say-so in the matter, but yet you're going to have eternal damnation. You say, well, God, why didn't you pick me? Why didn't you pick me? You know, sorry, I just didn't pick you. You know, does that sound fair to you? God is a righteous God, okay? He's not willing that any should perish. So when we talk about predestination, it's not talking about him picking people to be saved and picking people to have eternal damnation. That's not what God's doing, okay? We're talking about being predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. We're talking about predestinated to the adoption of sons. Let's go back over it one more time. Now watch. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, now watch. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, I'm trying to show you that God Almighty has predestinated the church, the body of Christ, unto the adoption of sons. Okay, now watch. Notice in verse 11. In whom also you have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Watch verse 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. So what we have here, people, we've obtained an inheritance according to verse 11, being predestinated. So we are predestinated to obtain an inheritance, okay? That inheritance does not come until when? Until the redemption of the purchased possession, verse 14. Now watch verse 14, the beginning of it again. We have received the Holy Spirit of promise, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. In other words, the earnest is the deposit. It is the down payment that God has given us. He's given us the Holy Spirit and saying, hey, y'all, look, this is a guarantee, all right, of what is to come, all right? I'm giving you an inheritance, and this is just a guarantee. The Holy Spirit I'm giving you is the guarantee of what you're going to get. Now watch. So what we have here in Ephesians, it tells us being predestinated unto the adoption of sons, all right? Now I want you to go to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, all right, I want you to notice again, I'll tell you what, let's go to Romans chapter 8, notice in verse 15. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, it says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So what we have here is we have a scripture telling us that we have received the spirit of adoption. Doesn't say we have received the adoption. It says we have received the spirit of adoption. The adoption hasn't taken place yet, people. Now watch. Now, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So what we have done, when we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become a child of God that has received the spirit of adoption. Okay? Now watch. The adoption has not taken place yet. That does not take place until the rapture. It takes place at the redemption of our bodies. Let's go on. Verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Now watch verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Okay, what is the adoption? It is the redemption of our body. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote this about 2,000 years ago, almost 2,000 years ago. And you know what? He is still waiting for the adoption. He hasn't been adopted yet. Okay? He's waiting for the adoption. He is waiting for the redemption of his body. That takes place at the rapture, people. Okay? That's when it says in Philippians that he's going to take our vile body and fashion it like unto his glorious body. That is the adoption. And that is when we are going to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now watch. Let's keep going. Notice in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, question, people, does it look like I'm conformed to the image of his Son? No, that hasn't taken place yet. The Bible says that he's going to take these vile bodies that we got, and he's going to change them and fashion them like unto his glorious body. That's what it says in Philippians. That is being conformed to the image of his Son. It hasn't taken place yet. Now watch, verse 29 again. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what? You have become predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Okay? It's a done deal, people. If you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to be conformed to the image of his Son. Your vile body is going to be changed and fashioned like unto his glorious body, and that is the adoption, people. This is something we have in Christ Jesus. The church, the body of Christ, is a unique body. It's a unique church that God has made, and you're going to be conformed to the image of his Son. This is a promise that God has given us, okay? The predestination he's talking about here is not God picking the people to be saved and leaving the rest to be lost. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about being predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. When you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become predestinated. The church, the body of Christ, was predestinated before the foundation of the world, okay? God knew it before he created the world. He says, the church, the body of Christ that I'm going to give, I'm going to predestinate the church, the body of Christ, to be conformed to the image of his Son. God knew all about it way before he even built the earth, okay? Talking about being predestinated. And when you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become part of that church, the body of Christ. Therefore, you become predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. All right, let's go on. Now, next thing up, you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Now watch. I want you to go back to Ephesians In Ephesians chapter 1, all right, in Ephesians chapter 1, I want you to notice in verse 12. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, it says, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Now, if you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, watch what happens to you. Verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. People, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. All right? That means you can't lose your salvation. God has sealed you. Now watch. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, I want you to notice in verse 30, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. All right? Now, how can God seal you unto the day of redemption? Well, it's very simple. He sealed the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, watch. Let's go to the book of John. All right? Notice in John chapter 6, notice in verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Question, did God seal the Son? Yes, He did. He sealed the Lord Jesus Christ. When you ask Jesus Christ to save you, you become part of Christ. You become part of His body. You become a member of the church of the body of Christ. Therefore, you become sealed. You are in Christ Jesus. You are sealed unto when? You know, I tried talking to people about being sealed. You know, I talk to some people, they think you can lose your salvation. And I'll go to Ephesians, and I'll read to them out of there. Ephesians chapter 4. Okay? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Okay? And they'll say, well, you can break the seal. I said, well, how are you going to break the seal? Well, when you sin, it breaks the seal. And I said, okay, let's read it again. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until you break the seal by sinning. Is that what it says? And they look at it and go, well, no. I said, well, when are you sealed to? It says you're sealed unto the day of redemption. That is when your body is redeemed. That is when God takes the purchased possession and redeems it, people. Okay? You're sealed all the way till then. Those people that have trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and they're dead in Christ, they're asleep in Christ, don't you know they are still sealed? Okay? They are sealed until when? Until they die? Nope. They are sealed unto the day of redemption, people. The Apostle Paul, that lived 2,000 years ago, he is still sealed unto the day of redemption. And one day he is going to be caught up with the rest of us that have trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're going to be caught up with him, and God's going to have us sealed until that day. All right. Now, also, I want you to understand in Christ Jesus, you are justified by faith. I want you to go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, I want you to notice in verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what we have is we have justification by faith, and it's by faith alone, people. Now, I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ here. I'm not talking about the New Covenant church with Peter and James and John and all them, all right, because they were justified also by works, okay? But the church, the body of Christ is justified by faith. Faith, okay? Faith alone. Now watch. I want you to go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. And notice in verse 24 real quick. James chapter 2 verse 24 it says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So we have scripture flat out tells us here that at one time there were men that were justified by works, okay, and not by faith only. You couldn't miss this if you tried, all right? But today we are justified by faith and by faith alone. I want you to notice in Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, all right, notice in verse 4 it says, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." Now here it's talking about people that do works, but it's for your reward. The church, the body of Christ, your works do not go toward your salvation. They go toward your reward. And that reward is not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Okay? God does not hand out rewards by grace. You have to work for them, people. And God hands them out and he owes them to you. That's what the scripture says. He hands them out by debt. If you work for the Lord, he gives you a reward. If you don't work for the Lord, you're going to suffer loss. You're not going to get that reward. But watch what happens if you don't work for the Lord, but yet you still trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now watch, verse 5. "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." So what we have here, people, even if you don't do anything for the Lord, let's say you don't read your Bible, you don't tell anybody about Jesus Christ, you don't go to church or anything, but you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all right, the Bible says here that your faith is counted for righteousness, you will still be saved, people. You are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, let's go on to Colossians. And here's one of the main things that we have in Christ, okay? In Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, I want you to notice in verse 26. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible says, "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now, people, this is most important, okay? This is something that you have in Christ Jesus, is you have Christ in you, and he is your hope of glory. You hope for glory, you hope to have eternal life, okay, that promise that God promised before the world began, all right? Well, the only way you can have that is by having Christ in you. He is your hope of glory. And you know what? Since we're talking about being sealed unto the day of redemption and stuff, a lot of people ask me, well, what happens if you backslide? Well, is Christ in you your hope of glory? You think Christ leaves you because you backslide? Or you do something bad, or you forget to go to church, or don't read your Bible, or you do start doing bad things? You think Christ is going to leave? And if you be good again, he comes back? Is that what you think? Okay? That's not how it works, people. When you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You got the Spirit of Christ in you, and you are sealed, and there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now watch. Go to Romans chapter 8. Now watch. Romans chapter 8, notice in verse 1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." You know, a lot of people, they take this verse of Scripture and go, oh yeah, but see, if you do a lot of bad things and you walk after the flesh, then you do have condemnation. That's not what it's saying, people. Let's read the rest of the Scripture, okay? Now watch. It says, "Now there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Don't you know you've been made free from the law of sin and death, people? Now watch. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Now watch verse 9. "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Now, the Bible tells us if you have the Spirit of God in you, you're not in the flesh, people. You're in the Spirit, okay? Now, a lot of people think that if you do bad things, oh, you're in the flesh. No, if you've got the Spirit of God dwelling in you, you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit. Let's read it again, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. You see that, people? Now watch. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, guess what? You don't belong to God, okay? God, you're not part of Him, all right? He is none of His. That's what the Bible says, okay? But if you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what? There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, since we're in Romans chapter 8, notice in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. People, nothing will separate you from the love of God. Okay? Nothing. Christ took the sin issue out of the way. Okay? That's the whole thing He came down here for. But you know there's preachers out there today, they want to continually take that sin and throw it back on you. Okay? They won't teach you that your sin, past, present, and future, all forgiven, taken care of, blotted out. You know, you're freed from sin. You're dead to sin. They won't tell you these things. But they'll say if you smoke a cigarette, or if you drink a beer, if you go dancing or something like that, poof, the sin is back on you. You're going to hell. That's what they teach you. That's crazy. Okay? There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Can't you understand that? People, you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Some people say, well, what if I get to where I just don't believe anymore? Well, let's see what the Scripture says. Let me ask you a question. Is Christ in you your hope of glory? Well, is He? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believing He died and paid for all your sins at Calvary? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Well, if you have, then Christ is in you your hope of glory. Now watch. Let's say you backslide, okay? Now, I don't encourage people to backslide. The Bible tells us to preach to live a godly life, okay? A soberly and godly life, all right? And do that which is right and pleasing in His sight. But what happens if you do backslide? What if you get to a point where you just don't believe anymore? What happens to you? Are you still sealed unto the day of redemption? Of course you are. Is Christ in you your hope of glory? Yes, He is, and He always will be. Now watch. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, excuse me, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want you to notice in verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, it says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. All right, now if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, it says in the book of Romans and several other places that you're dead with Christ, okay? Buried with Him in baptism and stuff like that. It says here, if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, verse 12, we shall also reign with Him. It says in several places, if you suffer for the Lord, you work for the Lord, you're going to reign with Him. Reigning is part of the reward. All right. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. Well, if you deny Him that suffering, He's going to deny you that reigning. That's what it's talking about. Some people say, well, if we deny Him, He also will deny us. And it's talking about losing your salvation. And I keep asking people, how many times did Peter deny the Lord? Okay. He said, you're going to deny me three times, Peter. And Peter did, and he realized it. He cried. But Peter will be sitting on one of the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel, people. Peter denied the Lord, all right? But he's still going to have eternal life, All right, so it's not talking about if you deny him, he's going to deny you eternal life. Look at Peter's situation. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about if you deny him the suffering, he's going to deny you the reigning. If you don't suffer for him, people, don't expect to reign. It ain't going to happen, okay? You're not going to rule with Christ. It's just not going to happen. Now watch. Verse 13. Now watch. First of all, I'm going to ask you some questions. All right? Are you sealed unto the day of redemption? Is Christ in you your hope of glory? Have you been forgiven of all your sins? All right? Is your body a temple of the Holy Ghost? Is it? Come on, that's what we've been covering. Now watch. Verse 13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Is Christ in you your hope of glory? Okay? I don't care how bad off you get, people. You are bought with a price. You belong to God. God doesn't say, oh, I bought you. Okay, you're mine. Oh, you've been bad. You're not mine anymore. Okay, you're good again. I'll take you again. It don't work like that. Okay? You trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. People, you're sealed unto the day of redemption. You've been forgiven of all your sins. You've got your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. All right, Christ is in you. He is your hope of glory, and he's not going to deny himself. It ain't happening, people. The Bible says nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. Can't you see that? Okay? People, this is just some of the things that we have in Christ Jesus. If you're out there today and you haven't trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to understand that these are some of the things that will happen to you if you do. All right? The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe with thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.